You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead. We're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks. And then hopefully, as the experts are predicting, as I think a lot of us are predicting after having studied it so hard, you're going to start seeing some real light at the end of the tunnel. But this is going to be a very painful, very, very painful 2 weeks.
April the 1st, 2020. Those are the words of President Trump, warning that the next 2 weeks are going to be extremely volatile when it comes to dealing with COVID-19, the coronavirus, China virus, however you want to call it. That's going to take us right up to Easter. The hope was, of course, that maybe by Easter Sunday, the 12th of this month, we could possibly open our churches. That's not likely at this point. There may be some churches opening. They may be having some services or maybe some sunrise services. It's going to depend upon the congregation, the leaders of the congregation, and you. And generally, I think at this point, the attitude is going to be, do your Bible study at home and do your praying there as opposed to gathering. These numbers coming out of this latest projection of what could happen. I'd already had some folks asking me, what do you think? And I'm saying, well, these are what I would call qualified projections. They're not just something off of a dartboard that they picked. This is based on what they've watched and seen, and it's a model. It could change. It's not the worst-case scenario, nor is it the best-case scenario. 1 million to 2 million Americans infected. 100,000 to 240,000 dying before we're finished with this flu. Where do we stand now? Worldwide confirmed cases, 860,000. Deaths, 42,000 confirmed. And yes, now the U.S. leads China in the number of deaths confirmed. That doesn't mean that's accurate. It just means that we have been reporting them. We're not sure what China is or is not reporting. We have 4,000 deaths confirmed inside the U.S. And our confirmed infection rate, 190,000. But again, all of these are based upon models. And Dr. Fauci, the director of the Institute for Infectious Diseases, says you had to take a look at how these come together and then the constant reevaluation.
Whenever the modelers come in, they give a worst-case scenario and a best-case scenario. Generally, the reality is somewhere in the middle. I've never seen a model of the diseases that I've dealt with which the worst-case scenario actually came out. They always overshoot. Looking at what we're seeing now, you know, I would say between 100,000 and 200,000 cases, but I don't want to be held to that because it's deaths. I mean, we're going to have millions of cases, but I just don't think that we really need to make a projection when it's such a moving target that you could so easily be wrong.
You could be wrong. You could be wrong either way. But as you heard him say, and he corrected himself, when he said 1 million to 2 million, he wasn't talking about deaths. He was talking about infections. But the death count could be 100,000 to 240,000. And the new estimates show that 25 to 50% coronavirus carriers don't have symptoms and can be infecting others blindly, just not having any kind of symptom, not knowing they're carrying it, and end up infecting others. That's what really throws those numbers off. And they could be low, they could be high, and they could be totally wrong by the time we're finished. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours, and part of it deals with allergies and sinuses. How do you know that you're not just battling that as opposed to coronavirus, especially this time of year? And how CNN refused to carry a beginning of the White House news conference yesterday because they did not want to show President Trump leading the nation. How low are they going to go and shameful as we try to deal with this crisis facing our nation? Wimbledon canceled due to the pandemic. First time since World War II. You know what I think some of this is? My opinion? All of this could be God reminding us, get back on your knees. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The worst case scenario is between 1.6 million and 2.2 million deaths. That's the projection if you do nothing. So we've never really done all of these things that we're doing. We've put them into a model. We've looked at the Italy data with their self-isolation. And that's where we come up with, if we do things together well, almost perfectly, we could get in the range of 100,000 to 200,000 fatalities.
That is, again, the projection based off the models. And the words of Dr. Birx, who's with the White House coordinating staff on the virus. She working with Dr. Fauci. She's also acknowledging that we have had this incomplete data from China that has misled us on the seriousness of all of this from the very beginning. New York was, President Trump acknowledged yesterday, was kind of slow in beginning to take its advances to curtail and start pushing for social distancing. You can't blame New York and the mayor, governor, not going to try to do that. But they were a little slower to do so. Whereas on the West Coast, and in particular in Washington State, they began to realize we've got a bigger issue going on here. And in most cases, in the West Coast, flu virus cases that are showing up, they were direct from China. In New York, it was coming through Europe. Those exposed in China are exposed to someone who in turn was exposed. And so that's why there was not real understanding. And Dr. Deborah Birx also pointed out, I think the medical community interpreted the Chinese data as that this was serious but smaller than anyone expected, because I think we were probably missing a significant amount of data. That is a key point. There was information being withheld from us, and the information we were getting was false and flat-out lying. We had China refusing to let CD inspectors, our CDC people, inside China. They were in turn telling the World Health Organization, everything's fine. This is only a virus that got linked to someone or a group of folks in one of these wet markets in Wuhan, China, eating bat, snake that carried some kind of virus. And it's passed by eating that particular animal, that virus. That's how they got it. But then when their own researchers began to get sick and die, and they had not eaten any of those things, they realized it is being transmitted person to person. Well, then how was it being transmitted? Then we got into the discussion, was it being transmitted by touch, by air, both? And then if it's on a surface, how long will it stay? Turned out to be a lot more resistant than many thought. So then we came up with maybe the best thing to do at this point would be look for social distancing, a way to keep people from coming closely in contact with each other. Now, that seems to be a very base, normal response. You had the cold or the flu. You don't really want to get around others. You might get them infected, and they don't want to be near you. We do know that something like measles, airborne, you do not have to come in contact directly with the person that has measles. You could be the other side of the room, and they happen to be in there, but they happen to be talking on the other side. Maybe they sneeze, they cough, or maybe they're just talking, but they're expelling some of the virus that then picks up in the air and moves around. And maybe lands in your nostril, on the edge of your lip, or your hand, and then you touch your lip. That's how fast it can move. So social distancing seemed to be an ideal. And, of course, the original report was, stand 6 feet away from each other. Now the Massachusetts Institute of Technology is suggesting the proper safe distance is actually 27 feet. 27 feet. The associate professor who came up with that was studying the dynamics of coughs and sneezes and found a cough or a sneeze exhales gaseous clouds that have the ability to travel up to 27 feet. Now, that might be true. I'm sure it is if they documented it at MIT. But is that a standard? And is that what you had to go by? Now you need a 27-foot difference in distance between you and anyone else? What, are you supposed to carry around a tape ruler and hold it out 27 feet around you, a big marker, and say, do not cross this line? How would you do that? 6 feet is tough enough, and that's not counting when suddenly you have to go into a building and you have to get on an elevator and someone else has to get on with you. You want to walk the stairs, okay? Did you touch the railing going up the stairs? Had they also touched the railing? Dr. Fauci's approach, and again, he's the director of the National Institute of Infectious Diseases. I should point out National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, but we're primarily looking at the infectious disease part. When he heard about that 27-feet report from MIT, his attitude was, these are his words, I'm sorry, but I was disturbed by that report because that's misleading. He said it would take a very, very robust, vigorous sneeze for droplets to even come close to travel 27 feet. That's the word of Dr. Fauci. But social distancing, that's what we're being encouraged to do. And as the president said, this next 2 weeks is going to be critical. They expect and hope, and we can pray, the virus will be at a peak the 12th or 15th of this month, Easter or shortly thereafter. But then it's going to take some time to go past that point. I have a friend, in fact, another Harley rider that's battling this at this point. I check on him from time to time, and as I know others are, because he's a single guy and you just want to stay in touch, because there have been people that have been in good physical health suddenly come down with the virus and they are dead within 2 days. And others, they battle through it and they get better. And some of these new meds and efforts and what they're trying to do, they seem to be working for some. May not be for all, but it's helping. And if there's someone you know that's been battling kind of a cough or sneeze, and since we're all kind of isolated, stay in touch by phone with them. Make sure that they're still responsive. The distancing, I think, is critical. I told someone, I don't go anywhere. I don't go anywhere than what I need to. Yeah, I have to go in the grocery store occasionally. I get in there, get what I'm after, I get back out. I don't do any socializing beyond that. There are those who say, oh, what the hell? And I tend to think that some people that are battling and have the virus now, in fact, one or two that I know, I would hesitate in saying this, and yet I think it's true, that they probably got it or had a chance of being exposed to it for sure over St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day festivities, parade, all that canceled, but there were still the parties, and everybody wants to go out and celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Go to the bars, enjoy, laugh, and so forth. And that compact closed area, even if it's briefly, it's all it would take. Dr. Deborah Birx again, saying, and if we're trying to deal with this, if we're trying to get a handle on it, keep in mind, we don't have a magic bullet.
There's no magic bullet. There's no magic vaccine or therapy. It's just behaviors. Each of our behaviors translating into something that changes the course of this viral pandemic over the next 30 days.
For the next 30 days. We think at the end of that 30 days that we'll be coming out of it. But the problem with some of these projections and models is they are just that. Dr. Fauci had pointed out previously that one of the things you'll begin to see, he said, when you begin to see fewer cases reported, everything behind that lags. That means fewer cases reported, fewer cases then are showing up at the hospital after that. And then behind that, you'll find fewer being treated for the virus, and you'll find then fewer suffering direct ailments of it, and fewer then dying of it. But it all lags, and it all begins with flattening the curve, as they've been saying. We'll be joined by Dr. Rick Lehman a little bit later in this hour. We're going to talk about some of these projections and some of the testing that's going on. And again, there's still a dispute and argument over mask. Are they good or bad or indifferent? And what about taking care of health care workers? But before we do that, I want to again reestablish for you an understanding of China and the incomplete data it was giving the world is directly responsible for us being at this dire situation. I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Florida Senator Rick Scott is calling on Congress to hold a hearing and investigate the World Health Organization's role in helping China conceal the threat, the original understanding, and extent of the coronavirus. He's saying the mission of the World Health Organization is to get public health information to the world so every country can make the best decisions to keep citizens safe. And when it comes to coronavirus, the World Health Organization failed. They need to be held accountable for their role in promoting misinformation and helping Communist China cover up a global pandemic. We know Communist China is lying about how many cases and deaths they've had, what they knew and when they knew it, and the World Health Organization never bothered to investigate, and that costs lives. And even to this date, we don't know the real numbers in China. We don't know the real numbers of those infected. We are supposedly getting a word that they've stopped counting mild coronavirus cases. Not only if it's mild in the beginning and then it turns fatal, they just, well, we counted you as mild and we're done with it. We're not going to count it again. And, of course, we still don't know what's going on in North Korea. They share a border. North Korea has yet to report a coronavirus case. Does anyone really believe there's not been a transmission of the virus simply across that border? But the key point, again, is that the World Health Organization, with the help of the Director General, who got his job only by a vote from China, is helping them cover it up. The Senator Scott of Florida, I'm fully in agreement with him, that he says as soon as Congress is back in session, we need a hearing, we need a full investigation to find out whether American taxpayers should continue spending millions of dollars every year to fund the World Health Organization that he says willfully parroted propaganda from the Chinese Communist Party. Does anyone want to continue giving money to the World Health Organization if they're going to be lying to us when it comes to something that is vital for our nation's security? If they're going to help a communist nation such as China cover things up because, well, we don't want to make them look bad? There's got to be accountability. Someone has to be held accountable. Someone's going to have to answer direct questions. Our U.S. Congress can only do so much. But what we do is control purse strings for the World Health Organization. And yeah, we do need to review it. We need to go back through it. We need to see what they knew, when they knew it, and how they began to cover it up, and with the help of the World Health Organization, expose all of us globally to this outbreak. If it had been handled properly from the beginning, there might not be a pandemic. It might have gotten out, but if you have advanced knowledge, it gives you a better chance of controlling and containing it. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'll be joined by Dr. Rick Layman. I've got a number of questions to go through with him. Rick is not an infectious disease expert, but he is on the front lines of the medical field here in the St. Louis area. And I've got some questions. He'll have the answers.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com. Schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler.
Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the drum began to swing. You should have heard the locked-out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in the home will say a rock.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Glad to have back on board Dr. Rick Lehman with us. Doctor, thanks for taking time, sir.
My pleasure.
I wanted to get, first of all, your reaction when the word came out of the White House yesterday and from Dr. Fauci and the team that we could see 1 million to 2 million infected across this nation and the death count based on some models could go from 100,000 to 240,000 dead in this nation. Neither was a worst nor best case scenario. Your thought?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think the metric of a million to 2 million people infected is absolutely totally believable. And in fact, some people predict half the population will get infected, which would, you know, could be 100 million people infected. Now, if you had 100 million people infected and the incidence of death was 1%, you know, that gives you a pretty substantial number. So I don't think 100,000 deaths is unrealistic. I mean, there were 3,000 deaths yesterday, there's 4,000 deaths today, you know, 1,000 more. So I don't think that's unrealistic. What I don't completely agree with is the metric, and the metric is that this is going to continue to escalate at the rate that it's escalated. And I think viruses tend to progress with a bell curve. Basically, it goes up, flattens off very shortly, and then drops pretty quickly. And we've seen that in every country. We've seen that in China, and we're going to see that here.
Well, that's why they're saying the next 2 weeks are critical, because that's when they expect the peak in 2 weeks or so.
Absolutely, and I think the next 2 or 3 weeks, that's 100% right, and that metric is correct. And so the question is then, you know, and they're also saying, look, we haven't really been affected in the Midwest, rural areas, et cetera, and I think we're going to start to see that, and I think St. Louis is already seeing that. So, but whether we'll see 100,000 deaths or 50,000 deaths or 200,000 deaths, nobody knows, but that number of 240,000 to me seems a little bit high, or seems high, because that's not controlling it at all, I would think. And they're saying that's their mid-range.
Yeah, that's with the mediation that we have underway, social distancing, things of this nature. And there are several doors you open up I want to go through. One of them being that Dr. Fauci had also pointed out that on these models, he said, you're going to begin to see changes. When you begin to see, and he's looking at what we've seen in Italy and China and so forth, when you begin to see a decrease in the number of reported cases, then that's followed by a decrease in confirmed cases, followed by a decrease in those who are hospitalized, followed by the decrease in deaths, that it begins, as you say, the bell curve begins to drop off.
That's exactly right. So, and I don't believe we've hit that peak yet, and I don't think Dr. Fauci or any of the models have suggested that we've hit the peak yet. And I also think we haven't hit all the areas yet. So I don't think, I think the middle part of the country hasn't really got it. The two coasts have got it. But the thing that I would stress is they're seeing far fewer deaths on the West Coast, because I think they've been much better and more vigilant than they have been on the East Coast, a little bit less density in population. And I think you can expect, if we're pretty vigilant and we do what we're supposed to do, which is, you know, basically social distance, stay in, etc., I think we can mitigate some of that.
One of the reasons for that difference, according to some experts, is that most of the cases, in fact, I had a representative of the Heritage Foundation on yesterday saying that most of the cases came up on the West Coast, came direct from China, and so since that was known to be the hotbed, then they were taking action faster. Whereas in New York, a lot of them were the European flights and Europeans coming through that had been exposed, and so they didn't come direct out of China. They just didn't make that connection.
Well, I think that's a component, but the other component is I think that de Blasio was a little slow to the draw, and I think the city of New York was a little slow to the draw, and it's a hotbed. I had a person in here today, you know, who works in a skilled nursing or runs a skilled nursing facility, so you've got lots of people in the closed space. So if one person gets corona, you know, a lot of people are going to get corona. So that's the problem. And you know, that's just New York. I mean, if you're, you know, you've been there, the density's crazy. Subways are crazy. You walk the streets, everybody's closed because there's so many people. And I think it's very hard to contain. And they didn't really come to contain it till a little bit late. In a week or 2 weeks in that population, when it's just a tinderbox, you know, may have made a difference.
Well, of course, that's also an argument thrown at Trump by those who just want to blame him for all of it, saying that he should have had a better handle on it from the beginning so it would never have gotten to our shores. But we were relying on a lot of false information and lies from the Chinese Communist government and the World Health Organization.
Well, I still think they're lying. I mean, you know, now they're saying it's completely contained, but you read the articles. They're sending, you know, thousands of urns over there. I don't know what they're doing with those urns. So I don't think you can take anything that they said for granted. Number two, I think this virus has been in this country for 6 months. I don't believe it. It didn't start in January, just like it didn't start in China in October. So I think, you know, I've known a number of people that were very sick. They tested negative for A and B, and for influenza A and B, and then they got better in 2-3 weeks, but they said they felt terrible, couldn't breathe, the typical symptoms. So I believe this virus has been here, you know, quite a bit longer than January.
Well, to that extent, the CDC is saying new estimates that 25 to 50% of the coronavirus carriers don't have symptoms and could infect others blindly.
Well, and that's the biggest problem. I mean, you just hit the nail right on the head. So if you're walking around, you feel fine, you know, everybody says self-quarantine, but logic would dictate, you know, hey, I'm Larry, I feel fine, you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You know, I have no symptoms. I'm not running a fever. And that's a hard population to control because they are infecting other people. And you know, by all senses, they really are not sick. They're not a carrier. And that right there is the problem.
And what's the distinction between nowadays with the allergy season coming on, that and knowing my eyes are watery, I'm stopping up, I can't breathe at night, can't lay down, versus coronavirus symptoms?
Well, and therein lies the problem. So a lot of people, everyone has allergies, right? This is the allergy season. So people are sneezing and coughing. The big difference is a fever, one, chest pain, and apparently this is a terrible chest, a burning, deep chest pain, and then a cough. So, you know, if you have your typical symptoms that you've always had every year at this time, you know, it's a runny nose, your eyes are watery, you kind of feel foggy, but you know, monitor your temperature for sure. And if you start to cough or you have chest pain, again, this isn't a chest pain you're going to miss, then boom, you need to go get tested. Now, recently, as of yesterday, there's going to be a new 5-minute COVID test. They're starting in Seattle. It'll be here probably in about a week, and you're going to have an answer, plus or minus, up or down in about 5 minutes. So that COVID test is coming.
Yeah, and that was also part of the blame that was given for it accelerating as it has across the nation, because the CDC and the protocol and how the tests were given, and they didn't want to do them indiscriminately, that we weren't wrapped up and could not get out of the red tape. The other issue being wearing masks, valuable or not. Some are saying that makes no difference, it means nothing to it. The masks are mainly just so you don't touch a surface with your hand and then put your hand near your face and your lips, but it's also airborne. So the mask, good, indifferent, what?
Well, initially they thought the masks weren't going to make any difference at all, and then the MIT study came out and said, no, these particles, you know, I don't know if it's really 27 feet, but certainly could be viable in the air. So I'm going to tell you, if I'm going outside, I'm wearing a mask, and I think everybody should try to wear a mask. And the question then is, where do you get them? And I would go to Lowe's or Home Depot or somewhere and get a painter's mask or little cardboard things. They're N95 plus some. They're a little uncomfortable, but they're very protective and they're cheap.
Well, for that part, just a scarf around the face like an old bandit Texas cowboy holdup.
Works perfect. Works perfect.
Now, the other thing is taking care of health workers here on the front ground and being on the front line with these cases and so forth. That what's going on with taking care of health workers?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of the health workers are very scared. They don't feel that they're getting exactly what they need in terms of protection. But I don't know that there's really 100% protection you're going to have if you're a health worker. I think if you're a health worker, you're taking some risk. And I think you're going to see a number of health workers get sick. I already know two or three doctors, not from this area, but around the country that have had it. One was on a respirator and is doing pretty well. So the answer to your question is the health community who are dealing with people that are sick day in and day out, some are, some aren't, and as you said, you don't even know who's sick because you could be a carrier and be fine. I think those people are highly at risk.
The elective surgeries and things of this nature have been shut down, but we still had tragedies and so forth. We've already seen an outcry for a need for blood.
Absolutely. And so I think people out there, you know, who can give plasma, who can give blood, need to step up and do that because you're going to see a huge problem in terms of transfusion supplies. And so
what about the blood not carrying something into the next patient?
Well, it's bloodborne. I mean, it's airborne. So I think A, it'll be tested obviously for COVID, number one, and number two, it's more of an aerial pulmonary problem than a transfusion problem.
All right. Well, doctor, I appreciate it. One other thing, I don't know if you saw the news already, but Wimbledon's canceled.
Yeah, that I knew that was coming, and the U.S. Open is next. I was on a call 3 days ago, so you can count that those tournaments to be out.
All right. Dr. Rick Lehman, again, thank you for your time and covering a lot of ground with us.
Take care.
You take care with you and your staff and your patients. Thank you, sir. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, and he's also on the Olympic Committee. He told us the other day that the International Olympic Committee was thinking they might try to maintain the Olympics, but they've also said they're going to push those back a year. We have a ship headed to Florida, trying to get into Florida, and it's filled with patience.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so here's the situation, and this is a balancing act. President Trump is urging the Florida Governor, Ron DeSantis, to allow a Holland American cruise ship to dock in his state. The president said they are dying on that ship. 4 dead on the ship as of last evening. Now, this ship, the Holland America, had left Argentina March the 7th. It's been at sea since that time. And they're trying to find a place where they can go because some of those on board had the virus and it's spreading through that confined area. Holland America confirming that 4 of the older guests, not specifying what age, just older, had died of the virus and at least 130 have flu-like symptoms. About 2/3 of the ship's passengers on another one had passed a medical check and should reach Fort Lauderdale by the end of the week. But when it comes to this particular ship, what are they going to do? Now, President Trump had previously, I want to make sure you understand the balance here. Earlier in this month, there was another stricken ship off the coast of California, the Grand Princess. And he said it should not be allowed to dock because he didn't want the number of cases in the U.S. to go up. It did end up docking, that last report I saw, and that they're handling it as they came off the ship. And now he's urging the governor of Florida to let this ship dock so they can get these people off. And they're going to have to. The Coast Guard, by the way, has advised that Miami-based ships registered in the Bahamas should go to the Bahamas for help first. And those with more than 50 aboard may have to care for those patients on board for, quote, an indefinite period of time. I can't imagine anything worse than you're on a ship. In fact, I've been on one before where we hit some really rough high seas where they boarded off the lower levels because they're afraid people will be washed overboard. And, I mean, that ship, a massive ship, was rocking and rolling throughout the entire night. And getting a lot of people just sick like that. Now imagine a virus or something like that going through a contained area like that. So Self-quarantine, of course, is what you want to see people do if they suspect they have it in their homes. And that's why they've been pushing this social distancing, trying to show that that can work. Well, if you're on board the ship, there's not anything you can do. You can stay in your room best you can. Hawaii is taking a very strong decision and punishment for anyone who violates self-quarantine. The Hawaiian government, the governor, signed a proclamation that requires residents and visitors who travel between the islands to quarantine themselves for 14 days. In other words, if you go from the Big Island to Kauai or something, well, then you have to quarantine yourself. Anyone who violates the mandatory quarantine could face up to $5,000 in fines or a year in prison if convicted. $5,000 in fines or a year in prison. In these cases, the quarantine cannot leave their hotel rooms or even receive visitors. Those traveling for health care are not required to quarantine themselves, but they must at the same time follow the social distancing measures. Back again to Dr. Deborah Birx, who owns the White House Coronavirus Council staffing and watching over all of this. The reason we have this social distancing, the reason we're trying to do what we can to maintain and keep some control on this, is because this thing, let me put it this way, probably the best analogy outside the medical terminology and so forth would be a brush fire. You ever seen one of those rush through? You ever seen some dry tinder? Or even if you're building a little fire outside and you put some really dry twigs on that and how fast they go, I mean, it just consumes them. And Dr. Birx is saying it's the escalation and the speed that is a big concern.
I think everyone understands now that you can go from 5 to 50 to 500 to 5,000 cases very quickly. We see this in many metropolitan areas. We're very worried about every city in the United States and the potential for this virus to get out of control. And we really believe that Americans with the right information will stay home.
That's what we believe and that's what we hope. It does move that quickly, that fast. And in some cases, someone perfectly healthy, 40 years of age, I saw a documented case the other day. They came down with a little cough, then a little croup. They go to the hospital, and they're dead in 2 days. That's not to cause panic or anything, but to say, pay attention. Be aware of the dangers. And this person didn't have any underlying health issues. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about how important our border security is at this point and what's really saving us from getting additional infections coming across our southern border and even our northern border, and how the mainstream media continues to use this as a weapon to attack the president rather than lift up our nation in a time of need.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.